Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading here at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." All right, let's center down on this and just see what the Lord is speaking to us about. Christ has redeemed us. Who is us? Me. Say your first name. All right. From what? The curse of the law. The curse is threefold: poverty, sickness, and death. Being made a curse for us. So he was made poverty, sickness, and death. Now we're going to go through those three, but right now we're in this area, redeemed from poverty. Now, as we look at this, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree," and we found that in Deuteronomy chapter 21, that so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, how? Through faith. Now, we are talking about the blessing of Abraham. So we had to go and find out what the blessing of Abraham was. And we begin to find out and hunt some of that down over there in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, I want to go through some of that because right now we're finding out. Now, remember this, that when I'm giving you this, I'm giving you truth. And the enemy does not want you to get truth because the truth will make you free. So if you ever feel like you don't want to come to church today and so forth like that, that is not God. Okay, now I'm telling you that because you're building on something, and if you keep hanging with it, he said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So if you're in lack and bondage and debt and so forth, you can get enough truth in you to get free of it. If you're in sickness, I don't care what the doctor said about you, it doesn't make any difference what the doctor said. God's got enough truth in here to get you healed. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, so it says here that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, when he goes on down, he said, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto." So he's saying that nobody can disannul this covenant or add to this covenant. Now, what covenant is he talking about? The covenant that God made with who? Abraham. Deuteronomy 28 says, "Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field." That is not the covenant. All right? The covenant is found, we found over in Genesis chapter 12. And look what it says, that no man disannulleth or addeth that too. So he's setting you up because he's about to tell you about the law and the law coming in, but the law could not disannul the covenant from coming in. Look what he says here. He said, "Now unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He said, "Not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed," which is who? Christ. So he is saying that the promise was made to the seed, and the seed was Christ. Now let's just stop right there and go over the verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, there's neither black nor white." Now I just put that in there myself, so that we can eliminate all these other distinctions. "For ye are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you belong to Christ or you be Christ, then are you Abraham's what? Seed and what? Heirs according to the promise." The promise that God made to Abraham is the same promise that he's making to you. Now, let's go back to verse 17. "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect." Now he brings the law in. Now what is he saying, the law? Because the law was brought in by Moses. Moses was called the lawgiver. So what Moses did is he came in with a law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Ten Commandments. He came in with the law, which was from Genesis to Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible, called the law of the Pentateuch. And now what we're saying is the law was added. We just said nothing can be added to the covenant. Then he said the law was added. He wasn't saying that it was added to the covenant, because you can't add anything to the covenant that God made with Abraham. Because Abraham and God are the only ones that could add to that, because they're the ones that made the contract. You can't come in somebody's business and say, hey, I want to add to that contract you just made with the boss man. Yeah, that don't have nothing to do with you. The only thing you have to do is abide by the rules that were made in that contract. So my point was, there was a covenant with Abraham. So now the law was added. And if you could just imagine something coming right in the center, plop, and plopping right down there, between the time of Abraham and the time of Jesus. Here comes something called a law. Now, why was it injected in there? Why was it put in there? Verse 18, if an inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, or why then, was the law? It was added because of what? Transgression, until who should come? The seed should come to whom the what was made. The promises were made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. You got what I'm saying? Now, the hand of a mediator, Moses. So Moses was carrying the law. He was carrying the Ten Commandments, tables of stone, so forth and so on. Now, my point to you is this, that it was added. The law was added, not to the covenant. It was added into the time of Israel and their relationship with God because of transgression. Because of sin, the law came in. Now, the law was designed to check a person from the outside in. The grace is working from the inside out. So what the law did is it helped Israel to stay together. It helped them to maintain a nationhood so that the seed could come through them. It also helped them to realize that no man can keep the law. That there, it's pointing to Jesus, who kept the law perfectly. Got it? Now, I'm telling you all this for a reason. Just hear what I'm saying. The law, through the law, we are reminded of sin. We take on something called a sin consciousness. And the letter killeth, because nobody really can keep it. Not in that condition that they were in. They couldn't keep that. But Jesus came, and he didn't have the same thing in him that they had in them. He was born of God. So his spirit was completely different. It's the same as your spirit if you're born again today. So now with Jesus, with that inside of him, glory to God. Are you still here? Am I just making sense? So now he kept it perfectly. Once he kept the law perfectly, he was on the cross and he bowed his head and said, "It is finished." What was finished? Not redemption, but the law. The law was finished. So the law, Paul talked about the law entered. And he's using a term from a Greek theater saying that it entered like you would enter as a supporting actor to a play. And so the law entered. And then once the law had run its course and the seed came, then the law exited. So now we as believers are no longer under that law. In fact, glory to God. All right, we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 first. All right, I'm teaching now. I'm teaching. Say teaching. Verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, come on, he is guilty of all. James 2, verse 10. I'll read it again. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of what? All. If I have a chain that is stretched from me to that wall, and you break the chain in one point, then everything is broken. Got it? That's what he's saying. If you break it one time, I mean, he gave Adam one, do not, don't eat that tree. Did Adam break it? Yep. And everything was broken. Every kind of curse came into the earth. Got it? Now, I'm letting you know that he's telling you that, hey, you may not be doing the big sin. You may not be fornicating with somebody and adultery and all that, but you may be angry. You may be anxious. You may, see, and that's a sin too. You got what I'm saying? Now, coming over here to 1 Timothy in chapter 1, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because you've got an enemy who is the accuser of who? The brethren. His job is to point out to you your weakness. His job is to point out to you where you missed it. But if you're not under judgment, then you don't need to receive that. Look what it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made, come on, for a righteous man, but for the who? The lawless, keep going, the disobedient, keep going, the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, so forth and so on, murderers. That's who the law is made for. Now, come on back over to Galatians again. Come on back over there. Now, so what do I have to do now? I have got to make sure that people understand that we are not under the law, but under grace, and that what happened when Jesus was in the earth, he kept the law perfectly. And by him keeping the law, then we are receiving what he did and applying it to our life. When we receive the Lord Jesus into our lives, we receive what he did. He was our substitute and God's sacrifice. Our Lord perfectly fulfilled the law for us. So we receive the blessings just as though we ourselves qualified for the blessings. Come on now, y'all ain't doing me right now. Did Abraham have a law? Come on, you're not speaking quick enough. Was there a law given to Abraham? No, there was no law given to Abraham. When Abraham, the blessings of Abraham's life are the same blessings that we receive, not because of the law, but Abraham was blessed because he believed God. All right, now what I'm trying to do is I am trying to get you from looking at where you missed it and start looking at where you're gonna make it. You can't look both ways, folks. See, when you preach grace and preach it right, somebody will always say, oh, you just giving those people a license of sin. Let me tell you what happened. When I preach to you sin all the time, then you become sin conscious. The reason why much of the body of Christ has not grown up, they're on milk. Now, milk means that you cannot handle the word. Milk means that you cannot believe you receive when you pray. Milk means that you cannot be able to do the works of righteousness, casting out devils, so forth and so on. Milk means you just cry all the time, complain, bellyache, talk about how bad it is, and the world can't see any difference between you and the world. That's what milk means. Okay? Now, it's fighting among each other and all that kind of stuff. All that's milk. It's a carnal Christian. Now, if I preach to you where you are now, then how do you get to where I want you to go? I'm going to show you that. Turn to Romans chapter 10. When God came and God saw Gideon. Now, what was Gideon's predicament when God came, or the angel came to Gideon? Gideon was threshing wheat, hiding it behind a wine press so that the Midianites wouldn't come get it. Got it? So when the angel came to him, the angel didn't call him, "Hey, coward, don't have no education, hey, trouble, hey, least in your father's house, least thought of." You know what I mean? He didn't call him that. He said, "Hey, mighty man of valor." You can't preach to people where they are. That is not the way you get them out of it. That's not the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's about where you're going and what's already been done for you in Christ. The gospel is not about how many sins you've committed. It's about what Christ has done for you, what the devil stole from you, and how to get it back. And what you got is you got people and they preach sin all the time. They preach to people like where they are, and because they preach where they are, the people never leave where they are. Now you got a bunch of churches and on every corner sometimes down here on the west side. And what's happening? Drugs still running rampant, so forth. Folks, if they knew what to do, they could clean that whole thing out in a week. Preacher ain't preaching that. And sometimes you start preaching the truth and some folk will walk out or don't come. Because you're preaching the truth. You're telling them how to get out of something. And see, the devil has, see, religion is like taking, it's like taking a shot because you don't want to catch something. Religion inoculates you against the truth. So when the truth comes, you put up an argument. Religion always argues with God. The Pharisees were nothing but religious. Jesus didn't pick one of them to follow him. He didn't pick a one. Jesus went, he had to go outside that synagogue, and he preached a man out there that was working on the Sabbath. Big Peter. He preached another one who was cheating everybody out of their taxes. Matthew, didn't he? Peter will cuss you out in a minute, brother. You cross him. That's who he picked. See, you can't tell me what the word can't do because it got you saved. So what we got to do as preachers, we can't look at them like where they are. We got to see them where God wants them to go. And we got to preach to them like they already there. Glory to God. Now look what it says over here. Are you following what I'm saying now? That's the way I get you there. I gotta preach that. they had 12 spies that spied out the land of Canaan, didn't they? And they came back, and 10 of them preached an evil report, didn't they? They said that we are in our own sight, come on, as grasshoppers, and all that evil unbelief. But two of them preached the truth. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. And that's what you got to say. Even when it don't look good, you got to say, I'm going to come out on top. I don't care what it looks like. Now watch this here. Watch this here, because that's why people hate faith. They hate, the devil hates teaching faith, because faith looks at it through the eyes of faith. And look what it says here, verse 8. But what saith it? This is the Apostle Paul. The word is nigh thee, even in thy what? Mouth, and where? In thy heart. What kind of word? The word of faith, which we preach. But if thou shalt confess with thy heart the Lord Jesus and believe in thy confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made, come on, unto salvation. Look at the next scripture. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed. For there is no difference between the who? Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto how many? All that call upon him. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what nationality you are. I don't care what your pedigree is. I don't care where you came from. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed. And he is rich to all that call upon him. That means that he generously bestows his riches upon all who would call upon him in faith. So it doesn't make no difference where you came from. If you call upon him in faith and you know Christ, then this is for you. Now, let's look at the next part. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved, healed, delivered, prospered, preserved, protected. Look at verse 14. Well, how then shall they call on him who they've not what? Believe. Well, how can they believe on him who they've not heard? Well, how can they hear without a preacher? There are things that God has given to the preacher specifically because of his position and his anointing in the church that is set up to bless you. He didn't give them to you. He gave them to the preacher. And if the preacher don't preach it, you ain't gonna hear it. Boy, you got to hear this. So what's been holding the church back? Jesus said it like this. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, come on, both of them go fall into the ditch. It's leadership. We got to get the pulpit right. Because we got to preach something many times that seems impossible. Come on now. Peter done fished all night, caught nothing, and came on the shoreline, and Jesus preaching abundance. And he said to Peter, when he got done teaching, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a great increase. Now that sounds foolish. He done been out there all night. He's a fisherman. He's a union man. Fishing is in his family. He knows the lake like the back of his hand. And then this preacher got the nerve to say, go on out there. I'm gonna fill this thing up. I'm supposed to preach the impossible. I ain't gonna preach nothing that's possible. I'm gonna preach something you can't do. Can't nobody do it but Jesus. We have been recreated in Christ. But God created us individually, insufficient. Now let me run this down to you now. You see, he don't want anybody to say, look what I did. Come on over here to Deuteronomy chapter 1, please. I'm preaching good today. How somebody could stay home on this, I don't know. I have no idea. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. Now, this is Joshua, and Joshua has been chosen by God to lead the children of Israel over into the land of where? Canaan, the promised land. All right? But look what God says, verse 38 of chapter 1 of Deuteronomy. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him now, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Encourage the man. Encourage your leadership, because your prosperity is in his mouth. See, it's a trick of the enemy to make you think you can make it without it. That ain't the deal, folks. A house divided. God made it so we got to make it together. Come on now. You need me and I need you. Come on over to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Oh, y'all got me preaching hard here. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 3 and look at verse 28. But charge Joshua and do what to him? Encourage him and do what to him? And strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to do what? Inherit the land which thou shalt see. Folks, I get at home, get before God, and he begins to give me this. What is it? It's the food. Who needs to eat? The sheep. What is it going to give them? Strength. For what? The battle. What they gonna do in the battle? Win. Win or go home. Now, all right. All right. Adam needed Eve. Adam, Eve, God said, he has made her his helpmate. That word help comes from the Hebrew izar, which is the same word we get help in. I look to the hills, with cometh my help. God was talking about himself. So when he referred to Eve, he referred to himself. So God's going to use Eve to talk through, to talk to Adam when he can't hear nothing. Women, are you following what I'm saying? And that's why women are more spiritually sensitive, because they can hear. Now don't be, listen now, hold on. But what Eve did is she went out from under authority. See, but she wasn't supposed to do that. Because she's that sensitive, she got to stay under authority. Adam couldn't have that baby by himself. He needed Eve. Not Steve. Eve. If Steve was there, we wouldn't even be here. Now, am I right about it? there. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. Cain needed Abel. We need one another. A child needs a parent. God did something. He made it so that you are insufficient within yourself. He made it that way, so we'll have to use one another. He made it so that you want to be a doctor, you want to be a lawyer, you want to be a plumber, you want to be a contractor, you want to be an architect, you want to be a pilot, you want to be a this or that, a bricklayer. It doesn't make any difference. No profession is down there. Everything is up here. It's only through this world system that we rank people and put people down and lift people up. If you don't have somebody picking up that garbage, you let it sit there for about 2 months and just see how your house starts to stink. Let me tell you, those professions are just as good as any other profession. Verse 1, chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. All right, watch this. One of them was a shepherd, the other was a farmer. I want you to see this. One had vegetables, the other one had the meat. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, that's what business is. It's a law of exchange. It's where you're exchanging things. You make something, I make something. We can exchange here. You got a certain talent, I got a certain talent. We can exchange here. That's what business is all about. But in this particular case, Cain killed his best customer. Killed Abel. Now, so I'm just letting you know that they needed one another because one of them had one thing, the other one had another. Well, Abraham needed Melchizedek. Well, Elijah needed the woman who didn't have one more meal. David needed Nathan. Moses needed Jethro. Hezekiah needed Isaiah. Israel needed God. The world needs Jesus. Body of Christ needs one another. Come on now. Paul needed the Macedonian church. Folks, it's all over the Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. And what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let me know when you get there. Come on. Look at verse 21. Verse 20, let's start there. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Are necessary. Now I'm saying we need one another. I said we need one another. You might be in a tight place. Paul was in a tight place where in Acts chapter 14, Paul even died. They stoned him to death. But the disciples gather around Paul and raise him up. How about in Acts chapter 9 when Paul was trying to escape because the Pharisees had heard he converted and they were converging on him trying to get him and Paul was put in a basket and let down the wall. Who was holding the rope? Some of the disciples. I'm saying you need somebody to hold a rope in your life. You might be in a tight place. You don't know how you're going to get out of it and God is speaking to somebody. Get up and pray. She's in a tight place. You got to hold a rope. You've been going through, but that's one of the reasons why he has you in a congregation, because a congregation is tied in together. We are one in this thing. We're pushing ahead together. Don't be looking at somebody, you black, you white, you. No, we are all one in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, when you're in need and you need some help and doctor just diagnosed and put you in the hospital, you need somebody getting up in the morning. Let her go, devil. Get your hands off. But what did the devil do? He tried to get you to get a spirit of division. Amen. That's the root of racism.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Why? So you won't love one another. Mm-hmm. So you just refuse to get up. Mm. pray for a sister or brother that's in trouble, that needs some help. All of a sudden, something fell on them in the house, and the daughter just got hurt and she's bleeding. God needs some people to intercede. Because it's the devil trying to take them out. God is a good God all the time. They didn't have this in Job's case. That's what he said in the middle of Job. He said, there was no intercessor. There was no intercessor, folks. Job didn't have what you got. He didn't have an intercessor. What one is the intercessor's job? Come on, Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. I sought for a man among them that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Remember in Job's life, the hedge came down? You need somebody to make up the hedge. Because when you just miss it, you didn't even know you was wrong, but you was wrong and you missed it. And now the hedge is coming down and Satan is aiming at you. But all of a sudden, somebody starts praying. Whoop, the hedge goes back up again. Because of the mercy of Almighty God. Come on, saints. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. This is what it's all about. It ain't about us four no more. You get you off your mind. Put me on your mind. Let me put you on my mind. Now we'll all get over there together. Now let me try to finish this here. Praise God. Are y'all with me here? So in the church, God has poured his blessings out. And he's distributed the anointing. And we have something called kings and priests. Now let me just take just a few minutes and talk about this. Come on over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us what? Kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Come on. Amen. Amen. Underline has made us kings and priests. Now that's an Old Testament pattern that the kings are anointed for battle. The priests are anointed for vision and for hearing and speaking the word. Amen. These are two separate anointings. God meant for these anointings to form a divine partnership. He didn't mean for me to spend all my time fundraising. He has anointed kings to go out in that world and possess wealth. Come on over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me know when you get there. Look what it says here in verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee what? Power to do what? Get wealth, that he may do what though? Establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. He's given you power to get what? Wealth. For what reason? To establish what? His covenant. Because he swore it to the fathers. He made a covenant with them. And he has given you power to get it. I'm talking about the kings now. You are anointed to go out and get wealth. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If a purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. The power of God flows optimally through purpose. When you know what your purpose is, your power will flow. You working in the wrong purpose, how is God going to anoint that? See, what many times people have done, and it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the reason why the children of Israel never got into Canaan is because they tempted God. Now, what is tempted God? A lot of people don't know what tempted God is. Tempted God says, I want God to do it my way. He ain't going to do it your way. There ain't but one way to do it, his way. It's his way or the highway. I used to tell people the road to hell is going to be paved with people singing, I did it my way. Yeah, no, you don't do it your way in here. There ain't but one way to do it, and that's his way. So if you got anointing or a gift to be this, you don't be coming over here trying to be this. If you're supposed to be an usher, you ain't got no business singing because you can't sing. Do you hear what I'm saying? And if you're a singer, you got no business ushering because you can't ush. So what you need to do is you need to find out what your gift out there is. Get in your gift. Get in your purpose so you can see some power. Take back the spoil and bring the tide to the church. Now we won't have to spend 45 minutes talking about the building fund. All I got to say, we're going to build, cost $10 million. You ready? They say, hey, praise God. The money hits off. Folks, we're doing this toilet because we're doing the wrong way. Ain't nothing about fundraising in here.
Well, they at the church, they had a big fundraiser. They, as a matter of fact, they had some bingo. They had some bingo party, and they sold, let's see, 490 chicken dinners were sold on foot.
Ain't nothing in here about that. Ain't no what? Not one chicken gonna give his life for this ministry. Jesus already gave his life, and that's all it is to it. Chickens in Illinois to do what God's called us to do, folks. Get your eyes off them chicken dinners and get your eyes back on Christ. Go out there and fight. And when I say that, enjoy going to that job because the anointing is activated through joy. And you can't be sad on Monday morning. You got to get glad and know that favor about to hit your life and get on in there and get that stuff, man. You're going to work for a purpose. Y'all looking sad on Monday morning on the expressway? Man, you ought to be, hey, this is the day. This is the day that my money gonna come. That my money gonna come. Say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Might have had a dream, but he couldn't interpret it. So he had to call for Joseph. See, we need one another. But Joseph came and Joseph began to interpret the vision and had a vision anyway from his birth. And then he began to talk about what's going to happen. So the priests understand the direction and timing and the move of God. They understand that. The priest gets the vision for the church. Now, each one of us is a king and a priest in our own family, meaning that you work and you come home and pray. You got it? But I'm talking about corporately now. There are kings and priests. Notice there was one tribe of Levites, which are priests, and then there was 11 tribes of kings. Are you following what I'm saying here? So what am I telling you? The priest has a vision. And the vision is communicated to the kings so that the kings can get the provision to hook up with the vision. Now, in the king's life, without a vision, the people perish. Well, let's say it another way. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. So you see a person making a whole lot of money and get them, here they are, get caught up in some hotel room with some 14-year-old. You know why? No vision. They're making a bunch of money and ain't no prophet speaking into their lives. It wasn't made to be so. That wasn't made to be so. Now, the fulfillment's gonna come when you say, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. Now, God's gonna bless you, but understand, there are first things first. You ready? Turn to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Y'all know where I'm going now. I said, you know where I'm going now. Now, didn't God say that if you hearken diligently to his voice, he'll set you high above all nations of the earth? Deuteronomy 28, and all his blessings shall come on you and do what? Overtake you. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, blessed shall be the fruit, so forth and so on. You shall be the head, not the tail, the lender, not the bar. He's going to make you plenteous in goods. He's going to bless every work of your hands and all of that. Am I right about it? That's what the covenant will bring, but that's not the covenant. The covenant is over in Genesis chapter 12, where it talks about two things. God says, Abraham, come out of your country, from your kindred and your kind, into a place where I'm going to show you. And I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing. So God's point is this. He's going to bless you. He's going to make your name great, and you're going to be a He's going to bless you and make your name great. Now, this is God. He's going to make you a great nation, bless you, and make your name great. But our part of the covenant is that we have to come out from the system. We got to come out. You're in the world, come on, but not of the world. You got to realize that you're not going to work on the basis of that old economic system any longer. You're going to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And not only that, he said, not only do you come out of there, our part is to come out, and our part also is to be a blessing. So if you think you're just going to get it all and not going to be a blessing with it, pretty soon something's going to happen to it because you have broke your part of the covenant. Look what it says here, and I'm about to stop. Look what it said, verse 6. For I am the Lord, and I change not. Say, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances. The word ordinances, you can put it in your Bible. Our customs, our order, the statutes, the prescribed practice. You have gone away from my prescribed practice. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But he said, well, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, well, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and what? Offerings. So you are what with a curse? You are cursed with a curse. Now, didn't I just read over there in Galatians chapter 3 that you've been redeemed from the curse? Now, all of a sudden, you're cursed with a curse. Why? Because even though you've been redeemed from the curse and now you're in the blessing of Abraham, you don't get those blessings if you're not connected. And tithe is a covenant connector. Hear the curses. Where are the curses? All out here. It's raining. Just imagine it being rain. And it's raining on everybody. But all of a sudden, somebody comes along with the umbrella. You know why? They were redeemed. It's raining on everybody else, but not raining on me. I'm redeemed. Now, how did they get the umbrella up? Through the tithe. The tithe put the umbrella up in your life. The umbrella is in your hand, but as long as you're not tithing, it's not up. It's not up. Now, let me just say this. The tithe did not start with the Old Covenant, Old Testament. That's Moses, the law. Tithing is under the law, Pastor. Wait a minute. I told you that the law was added because of what? Transgression. Until the who should come? The seed should come. Folks, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek 430 years before the law ever showed up. Don't you be telling me that the reason why the tithe is under the law is because he wanted the people who are under the law to be able to take advantage of it. That's the only reason it was there. But other than that, tithing started, and I'm going to take you back to the garden and show you the tithe that started with Adam. Hey! Hey! Now that's your choice. You've been redeemed from the curse. Now I want you to experience the reality of that redemption, and it starts through your tithe. Let me tell you something. God said this. He said, my commandments are not grievous. What I'm telling you to do is not going to be hard. I'm not going to tell you to run a 26.2 mile marathon here for Chicago. I'm not going to tell you to do that. I'm not going to tell you to run and climb Mount Vesuvius or Mount Everest. I'm not going to tell you to do that. Only thing I'm going to tell you to do is tithe. Now think about it. Why are you having a problem with that? Because the devil has messed with your mind. And everything's going through it. Well, the preacher wants money. So for all that. Now, we don't need to fundraise no more. God has anointed you to get wealth. Yes.